Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll continue to follow the reign of Hezekiah as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 9. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, which is the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Israel, Samaria fell. The northern kingdom came to an end. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and he put them in Hala, in Habor, by the river of Gozan, in the city of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of Jehovah their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and they would not hear them nor do them. So the northern kingdom actually fell because of its disobedience to God. Ruled God out. God stepped out, and that was all. So Sennacherib, then in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against all of the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them, according to the Assyrian records. And it's interesting, we have very complete records in it from the Assyrian annals. The archaeologists have uncovered voluminous records from the Assyrian Empire that, as we say, are proved to be true because of the Bible. And in these Assyrian records, they speak of this invasion of Sennacherib, and according to the records, he took 200,125 captives in this particular invasion, as he captured the other cities of Judah, not coming against or not taking Jerusalem. But he took the cities of Judah. And Hezekiah, the king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, where he was at that time besieging Lachish. And he said, I've offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me, I will bear. In other words, he was sort of capitulating to Sennacherib. Whatever you appoint, whatever you say I have to pay, I'll come up with it. Whatever you put on me, I'll bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, the king of Judah, a tribute of 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And so Hezekiah gave him all of the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, in the treasures of the king house. And at that time, Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars, which he had earlier overlaid with gold, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. But then the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaras and Rabshakeh. Now, these are titles of men. The Tartan in the Assyrian was commander-in-chief. The Rabsaras was the chief of the eunuchs. And the Rabshakeh was the sort of chief of staff, so to speak. He was the low man on the totem pole of these that came. However, he was the spokesman because he spoke Hebrew. And so these three men, emissaries, a political or a envoys from the king of Assyria, he sent them against Jerusalem with a great host, with a great army. And they came up to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the Fuller's Field. So an area in the upper pool, the area of Jerusalem, probably in the northern part of the city. The lower pool was the area of the spring of Gihon. Now Hezekiah, knowing that they were coming and were planning an invasion, at that time made this tunnel through 1,700 feet of solid rock that is recorded in 2 Chronicles. And he brought the water from the Gihon spring under the wall of Jerusalem and to the pool of Siloam with a very fascinating engineering feat, especially for the day in which they were doing it. And yet with these primitive kind of tools, cut this cave 1,700 feet long. They started at both, at either end. One group started at the spring of Gihon, and the other started from the pool of Siloam, digging towards each other without modern engineering devices to keep them, you know, coming towards each other. And when they finally met, they were only about 6 feet apart. But it's an amazing engineering feat through solid rock. And I mean, that rock is solid and it is hard. And yet these guys carved that tunnel to bring the water on through. Now, this spring of Gihon was then covered over so that they did not know exactly where the water supply was coming for the city of Jerusalem, because they were getting it out of the pool of Siloam within the city walls. But they were meeting in the upper pool by the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king sent out to them Eliakim, which was over his household, his chief servant, and Shebna, who was the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, who was the recorder. And so Rabshakeh said to them, "Speak now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king." Notice he didn't say to King Hezekiah. The guy is extremely rude. He is discourteous. He is blasphemous. And so he said, "Speak now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein you trust? You say, but they are vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom do you trust that you would rebel against me?" The king of Assyria had a tremendous spy network. He did know what was going on within Hezekiah's kingdom. Perhaps some of the captives that he had taken were telling him just what Hezekiah was planning on doing, the plans for war. Because Hezekiah had summoned for help from the king of Egypt, even though Isaiah said he should not, Isaiah told him, "Just trust in the Lord. The Lord will deliver you." But he did send for help from the Pharaoh, which never came. And he said, "Behold, you trust upon the staff of this bruised reed," referring to the Pharaoh. One of the reeds that grows by the Nile River. They are very brittle. You know, they look strong, but you go to use them for a cane and they'll break. And he said, "You trust in one of these bruised reeds, even upon Egypt, which if a man leans on it, it will break and pierce his hand. So is the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all of those who trust on him. But if you say unto me, 'We will trust in Jehovah our God,' is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'?" So he knew that Hezekiah had removed these high places and that he had appointed Jerusalem again as the place to worship God, to offer their sacrifices before the altar in Jerusalem. "Now therefore I pray thee," he said, "give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses if you're able on your part to put riders on them." Now, Israel had an infantry, they had chariots, but they did not have a cavalry. And he said, "If you would, you know, give me some money, I'll sell you 2,000 horses, but you don't even have men that can ride them. And how in the world do you think you're going to turn away the face of just one captain of the least of my master's servants? and you put your trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen. Am I now come up without Jehovah against this place to destroy it? For Jehovah said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. The guy is really blasphemous. He said, don't you think that Jehovah is commanding me too? He told me to come up here and destroy it. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah to Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to your servants in the Aramaic language, Syrian or Aramaic. Now, the Aramaic was similar to Hebrew, but enough different that the common people didn't know Aramaic. However, these fellows did. And they didn't want them conversing with the people. If they want to talk to the king, they should do it through the proper channels. There's a lot of curious people on the walls listening to what's going on. So they said, speak to us in Aramaic. We understand it. And don't talk to us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? No, he sent me to the men that sit on the wall, that they may perish in the famine that will come, the famine that will be so great that they will be partaking of their own body excrements. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, and he spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in Jehovah, saying, Jehovah will surely deliver us, and this city will not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then you can eat every man of his own vine and every man of his own fig tree, and drink from your own wells of water until I come and take you away to a land that is like your land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil and olive and honey, that you may live and not die. Don't hearken to Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, Jehovah will deliver us. So this fellow broke every rule of protocol and diplomacy in trying to create a rebellion directly among the people, speaking to the people directly, saying, hey, don't listen to your king. He's telling you that Jehovah's going to deliver you and help you. Don't believe it. Now, if you fellows will just surrender, just come on out and surrender, you can dwell here safely in the land. You can, you know, eat of your own trees and vines and so forth. And then in time, the king of Assyria will come and he will take you from here to another beautiful land, a land where you can have your corn and wine and oil and so forth. And he didn't try to go so far as to say, you know, you will be able to stay here, because the people knew full well that Assyria always practiced repopulation and the distribution of population, taking people from the area where they were at home into foreign areas. So in time, the gentle, gracious king of Assyria will come, and he will take you into another place and set you up in another area that's similar to yours. And then he said, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? These other people that we've conquered, they all had their gods. They all trusted in their gods, but none of their gods were able to deliver out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Where are the gods of Hamath, of Arpad? Where are the gods of Shepharvaim and Hena and Iva? They have not even delivered Samaria out of my hand. Who are they among all of the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that Jehovah should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people are to be commended. They held their peace. They did not answer a word, for the king's commandment to them was, don't answer them. So then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the king's household, and Shebna the scribe and Joah, the recorder, they came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn, and they told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass when the king Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went to the house of the Lord. In distress, they're facing an enemy that is admittedly more powerful than they are. They're facing great calamity. What does he do? He goes to the house of the Lord. Wise move. So it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, went to the house of the Lord, and he sent Eliakim, who was over his household, and Shebna, and the elders of the priest, who were covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, a day of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. A proverb that speaks of the dire situation. We have problems that are greater than we're able to handle. The situation is greater than what we can bear. We don't have the strength to handle the situation that we're facing. It may be that Jehovah, thy God, will hear all of the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that are left. And so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Basically, it was a plea for Isaiah to pray unto God with the hopes that God would hear the blasphemous things that were said by this emissary from Assyria, and that God would honor his name. Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith Jehovah, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say that Tirhaka, the king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come to fight against thee, he sent messengers again to Hezekiah. Now, this was a powerful king. He became the king of Egypt. He began in Ethiopia, an extremely powerful king. And they heard that he was coming to Hezekiah's aid. And so he sent a message to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, don't let your God in whom you trust deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands. They've destroyed them utterly. And do you think you're going to be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the children of Eden that were in Thelazar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, and Hena, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. Here he gets this letter of threat from the king of Assyria. And he goes to the house of the Lord, and he just spreads it out as though the Lord didn't know what was in it. He says, look, Lord, what this guy's written, you know. And so Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and he said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, you are the God, even you alone. Recognizing there is only one true God, one living God. You are alone God. There are other gods, gods plenty, the gods of the heathen, but there's only one true and living God. Bow down your ear. Now that phrase, bow down your ear, is you see an older person when they are getting a little hard of hearing, they'll say, what? You know, and they'll bend their ear down. And that's what he's saying. Lord, bend your ear down. You know, I want to talk to you a minute. You know, open, Lord, your eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Kings in our next lesson, as we continue with more on the deliverance of Jerusalem. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you increase in your understanding and knowledge of Him. May you be freed from that power of darkness, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And may you grow up in Him in all things, being strengthened, and may you increase day by day in His richness, in His love, in His grace, in His word, in Jesus' name.
Fifteen years ago, I was convicted for drug possession. I was looking at a year in prison, but reflecting back, that was the best time of my life, because it was there that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I shared this with my mom and she mailed me a Bible, which was great, but I had a hard time understanding it. Thankfully, my mom also sent me copies of Pastor Chuck's commentaries, and he became my pastor in prison. Today, I'm blessed to be working at The Word for Today, and it's with great honor to introduce The Word for Today Bible in a paperback, complete with Pastor Chuck's commentaries, so anyone who's incarcerated or in a difficult place can learn and study God's Word wherever they are.
For more information on a paperback version of the Word for Today Bible for yourself or to give to a loved one, please call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. You can read a sneak preview of the Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.